Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening into the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do count it a privilege to be here each and every Tuesday at the same time on WATA, and then also on Saturday, the different radio stations. But this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we want to take just a moment to invite you to come be with us if you are in the listening area. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Maybe you are visiting, whatever the case may be. Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages, and then 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. This Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 25th, we're going to have a special service. We're going to have our a missions emphasis Sunday, and in the morning during the Sunday school hour, I'll be preaching on missions, and that is what our church does. That is one of the main reasons. That is the main reason for any church, is to get the gospel out. We'll be teaching and preaching on that and how that is done during the Sunday school time. Then Sunday morning we have a visiting missionary, Brother Bobby Sizemore. He's with the Rock of Ages. And then Sunday night, Brother Adrian Hernandez is going to be with us. He is also a missionary we've supported for several years now. It is good to be here in the studio today, and I appreciate Noah helping and all that he does. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing well, and it is good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. And welcome to those listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And Noah, for all he does, he helps a great deal, and helped me last night on the other radio broadcast, the old Paz broadcast, and he does a lot, and I really do appreciate that. But if you are a regular listener here on Blessings of Liberty, we've been doing a series, and the title to the series, What I Can Do for My Country, and we've covered just a few things in the past several weeks now. I would have to go back and look exactly how long we've been looking at this subject, but what I can do for my country. We spent several weeks on the subject of prayer, that the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 that we're to pray for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And prayer makes a difference. And the Bible says in James chapter 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we could say of a righteous woman availeth much. Prayer changes things. And so we talked about prayer and how that prayer restores a right relationship between God and country, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. That's talking about the practice of our religion, that we'd be able to worship God and not have to make a choice between, well, am I going to obey God or am I going to obey government? If things are as they should be, those two will never contradict one another. And so prayer. Then we talked about the subject of getting the gospel out, preaching the truth, obeying the Great Commission. As I said in the introduction, talking about church. What does your church do? What are churches supposed to do? Churches are supposed to produce other churches, more churches. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to disciple them. We're to teach them. And so it sets in order a result of where the gospel is preached. The next thing that should happen is not only souls being saved and lives being changed, but churches being established. And so we talked about the importance of churches for the past few weeks. We talked about, first of all, the model church in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I was thinking today, and this might be a message later on, but I was just thinking about churches and how important they are and the part they play in our lives. And I was thinking about in church down through the years, I've been encouraged to be something in church. I've been encouraged to say something. I've been encouraged to do something. I've been encouraged to believe something. All positive. Now, I know that people have bad experiences in church, and sometimes people, through a bad experience, they go away and they say, well, I'm never going back to church. But I'll tell you, that's not the Lord's fault. And that's not the Bible's fault. That's somebody's fault. And, of course, in church, you have people. There's no other way around that. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. But when we're talking about the influence of churches, we're talking about the way God designed a church to be. If a church is what it ought to be, it's going to have nothing but a positive impact on the community, the people, the country, the county, the nation, right on and on and on. Now, last week we talked about the historical impact of churches in America. And once again, I'm going to say this. We're not talking about religion, just religion. We're not talking about religious institutions. I'm not talking about dead churches. I'm not talking about churches that fail to fulfill their God-given purpose, which is to preach the gospel. I'm not talking about churches that have gone into apostasy. I'm not talking about churches that deny the fundamentals of the faith. But I'm talking about gospel preaching, Bible believing, Bible practicing, living local churches. And we talked about Acts chapter 9, verse 31 last week. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. We talked last week about how churches were multiplied and how that the gospel went west and went into Europe and from Europe into the Americas. And we talked about the positive impact, the historical impact of local churches. Now, all that by way of introduction to bring us up to where we want to be today. And today we want to talk about how God used churches to save America. Have you ever thought about the thought, has God ever saved America? You think about that just a little bit. Has God ever saved America? I'll tell you, we need the Lord's intervention today. But as we look back on our history, I believe we can point out some times where God intervened and literally saved our country. Now, I'm going to give you some Bible verses. And these Bible verses that I'm going to give you were used quite often during the early days of our nation. They were used in the preaching from the pulpit. And at that time, of course, nobody had the technology to record a message. I know at our church, we put all of our messages on CDs. And so you can get a CD. I preached in a church a while back. They had their services on CDs and DVDs. So you could get a copy and you could watch what had gone on during the service. But during days gone by, they couldn't do that. But they did print a great deal of their sermons. And the sermons from the time period of the American Revolution, you will find a common theme preached from the pulpits of America. John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." One verse I use every week when we come on the radio, Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is the first time that you find the word liberty mentioned in the Bible. And the first time you find the word liberty mentioned in the Bible, liberty is God's idea. Freedom is God's idea. And the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, God said to proclaim it throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. God's desire for us is to have liberty. And that is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Another common theme was from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so we find in the Bible the idea, the concept of liberty, that God is pro-liberty, that if you know the truth will set you free. It's what the Bible says. Now, when you think about America, what comes to mind? What do you think of? Well, if all you know is modern America, you might think of baseball. You might think of football. You might think of shopping malls. You might think of Coca-Cola or Walmart or McDonald's or Krispy Kreme or something like that, hot dogs, baseball, apple pie. You know, we're not the country that we were in the beginning. But if you really think about America, if you know anything about America, if you know anything about our history, you would have to think about liberty. You'd have to think about freedom. You look at our flag. You look at the eagle. The eagle represents freedom. Whenever you see an eagle, and they're all over the place. Our songs that we sing, our history, our heritage. When people come to this country and they go to, you might think about America, you might think about New York City. What do people want to see when they go to New York City? They'd want to see the Statue of Liberty and the history behind all of this. Our flag, our songs, our states, our mentality in America. America is different from the other nations of the world. Our mentality is let freedom ring. Well, it's not always been that way in America. Liberty and freedom, as we know it today, it definitely has a history. It had a beginning. Now, liberty can be traced back through time. It can be traced back through history. And we find little fires springing up here and there throughout history. We see minds and hearts being changed at different points in history. But when we come to America, we have an outbreak of liberty. We have a revival of liberty. We have a complete change in how people even think about how government is supposed to work. America, really, as far as from a human standpoint is concerned, shouldn't even be. But America has become, and especially in the past, a beacon of freedom throughout the whole world. Well, what made the difference? Why is America different? Why did people's mindset change so much? In the original America, it wasn't the 13 states. We talk about the 13 colonies. A colony is an outpost of another nation or from another nation. That we were the 13 colonies, the Americas, it was called. And the 13 colonies was ruled by a monarchy, the King of England. America was a colony of Great Britain. And for thousands and thousands of years, people all throughout the world, all they had ever known was a emperor, a pharaoh, a king, a queen ruling over them, a monarchy. That was a concept of government. But when you come to America, you find that a revolution took place, and that revolution was not just a revolution to be free from Britain. I mean, that you find other revolutions, but all nations had done before this time was just to go from one monarch ruling over them to another monarch ruling over them. They might be conquered by another nation. That's what you have. But when you come to America, you have a revolution. And during that revolution, they say, no, we're not going to have a king to rule over us. We're going to rule ourselves. A republic. We're going to be ruled by law. We're not going to have a king. Different than it had ever been anywhere else in the history of the world. There was a revolution of thinking. There was a revolution of thinking about government, of thinking about God. There was a revolution of believing in something other than the king. Now, the primary cause of America, when we think about America, and I'm talking about today, the influence of churches in the saving of America. I mean, it was do or die. We're gonna rebel. We're gonna separate. We're gonna declare our independence from England. This was a major, major deal. And the primary cause of America was not a political cause. It was not a social cause. It was not an intellectual cause. But if you look at history, honestly, you have to realize and recognize that the primary cause of America, and America being what it is today and being a beacon of light and freedom throughout the whole world, is there's a spiritual cause. And what I'm referring to is what history refers to as the Great Awakening. Now, I've talked about this several times over the years here on the Blessings of Liberty, but the Great Awakening. I remember reading about the Great Awakening in high school. And here's something interesting. I don't ever remember it being referred to in church, but I'm telling you, in churches, we need to be reminded of these things. I remember reading about the Great Awakening. I remember learning about a man named Jonathan Edwards, and I remember that he preached a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And we read that when I was in high school and discussed the message, I guess. I don't really remember all the details, but I remember talking about these things. The Great Awakening. The Great Awakening can be traced back to the year 1734 in America. Some of the principal men involved in the Great Awakening, one was Jonathan Edwards, who I just talked about. He was a congregational pastor, and he did preach the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it caused quite a stir in New England, the Great Awakening. And then at that same time, there was another man that God raised up and used, an Englishman whose name was George Whitefield. George Whitefield was actually America's first household name. He preached in all the 13 colonies from Georgia all the way to Maine. And everywhere that he went, thousands and thousands of people would gather together to hear him preach. Benjamin Franklin one time. And Benjamin Franklin was evidently friends, acquaintances with George Whitefield. And Benjamin Franklin heard George Whitefield preach in Philadelphia, and he measured off distance and wrote about how that he could hear George Whitefield preach 1 mile away. I mean, it's just astounding what the ministry of George Whitefield had upon our nation. And he preached, and thousands upon thousands of people came to know Jesus Christ through the preaching of George Whitefield. Now, that was the immediate result. The immediate result of the Great Awakening was conversions. People coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, the interesting thing about the Great Awakening is that many of these people were already members of a church. They went to church every Sunday. In fact, you know, we think about today mega churches and thousands of people being members of one church. Well, that was very easy in the early 1700s in many of the colonies. The state and the church were one the same. And so you want to have a mega church, just pass a law that everybody has to go to church and be a member of your church. Well, that would include the whole town. And anybody that wasn't a member didn't come to church, a lot of places, they would arrest them. They would fine them. They would put them in prison. So, hey, it was the law. You go to church or you go to jail. It's your court. It's your choice. And so that's the way many of the colonies operated. But a lot of these people that came to know Christ were church members. Remember, I read John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. These people weren't free that were coming to Christ. They weren't happy. They were under monarchy. They were under religious oppression. They were made to go to church. They were made to do these things. They were made to pay their tithes. They were not free. But when they came to Christ, they became spiritually free. And the truth shall set you free, is what the Bible says. So the immediate result of the Great Awakening, I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3. The immediate result was conversions to Christ. And people had a taste of real freedom. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So they tasted spiritual freedom for the first time. That was the immediate result. The second result was that multitudes of people left their Protestant church. I mean, they'd been church members. They'd been faithful. They had been working in order to get to heaven. But all of a sudden, they hear the gospel for the first time and they come to Christ and they have a newfound freedom. And so they ask themselves the obvious question, why didn't I learn this in the church I've been going to, the church I've been made to go to? And what you find before the American Revolution is that there was a revolution, there was a migration away from the mainline Protestant denominations that were the state churches all throughout the colonies. And so you had people going away from, you had people leaving. Now, if they stayed in their congregational church, their Episcopal church or Anglican church, if they stayed in their Puritan church, what happened was there was an immediate division. And even in Jonathan Edwards' day, there was a division in the church that he pastored. The Great Awakening took place over many, many years. And they chose sides, and they even called them, there's the old sides and the new sides. And the old side said, well, it's just good enough to go to church and be baptized and have communion and just be a member and be a good person in the community. But the new side, brought about by the Great Awakening, you'll read in history what they called experimental religion. They believed in experimental religion. They believed that you had to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, that you should be able to go back in your spiritual life and say, there's a day and a time where the Lord changed me, where I was born again. And so you had the old side and the new side. And the new side was excited about life in Christ, and they would testify and they would sing and they had joy. And it was just different from the old, dead mainline churches. So there was an exodus out of those mainline Protestant denominations. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a congregational minister. He graduated from Yale. George Whitefield was an Anglican priest. He'd went to Oxford. But God used these men to preach the gospel, and thousands of people were converted through their ministries, but their converts left the churches that these men represented, because these men, they preached, do what the Bible says, follow the Bible, follow Jesus Christ. George Whitefield one time said about all of the converts that he was hearing that was leaving the mainline churches and were actually becoming Baptists. And so in order to become a Baptist, if they were convinced that the Bible taught that first you were saved, then you were baptized. And so George Whitefield said one time, he said, all my chickens are becoming ducks, meaning that they were being baptized, that they were becoming Baptists. So number one, during the Great Awakening, there was many people, hundreds of thousands, that came to Christ. Second result, they left the dead churches. And number three, they birthed new churches. And this birth of new churches was mainly Baptist churches, and mainly in the South. Now, the Great Awakening, something that is unique about it in history, is that it was an awakening. It was a spiritual movement that birthed churches. Churches was the fruit of the Great Awakening. For example, there was a man converted under the ministry of George Whitefield, under the preaching of George Whitefield. His name was Shubal Stearns. And Shubal Stearns was a congregational church member when he come to know the Lord. Well, through studying the Bible, after he come to know the Lord and he began to study the Bible, he was persuaded that he needed to be baptized. Shubal Stearns became a Baptist. Shubal Stearns was called of the Lord to preach the gospel, and he felt led by the Holy Spirit to come to North Carolina. And you can go today to, there's a little place down in the middle of the state. It's called Liberty, North Carolina. I've been there. And there's a place called Sandy Creek. There's still the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And he came to that spot in North Carolina. And there's actually three churches on the church property there. And there's a monument that talks about Shubal Stearns and his influence. And if you're interested in church history, you ought to go to Liberty, North Carolina and visit the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And it's just, it's history. It's history. And you can go there and you can see that. But he came down into North Carolina. He began to preach. God began to bless. Many men were called to preach under his ministry as well as being saved. And the result of his ministry is that 17 preachers birthed 34 churches. And from those 34 churches, you can trace the birth of 128 churches. And from the 128 churches was birthed 1,000 churches. And from the 1,000 churches came 5,000 churches. And within two generations, they had birthed out of that one man coming into North Carolina, 5,000 churches. There's a reason why the Bible Belt's the Bible Belt. For example, the first convert of Shubal Stearns when he came into North Carolina was a man named Tidence Lane. And Tidence Lane worked with Shubal Stearns for many years, but he eventually went over the mountain into Tennessee. And he is credited as the first pastor of any denomination to establish a permanent church in what is now the state of Tennessee. And right over here in Gray, North Carolina, right outside of Johnson City, Tennessee, you can visit the Buffalo Baptist Church, which Tidence Lane started. And that church was started in the year 1779. There's a reason why there's a church on every corner in the South, and it's not because all of them split and got mad at each other. But there's a history of churches birthing churches in early America. That is the reason why America is America. And through the Great Awakening, once the nation got a taste of spiritual freedom in Christ, as the Bible said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Once people in America got a taste of spiritual truth and spiritual freedom, the natural result of that is that they wanted to have political freedom, and they wanted to have religious freedom. And there was a time where the state churches persecuted the new churches, and they would put preachers and Christians in prison for baptizing, for preaching the gospel. Religious freedom has not always been in America, but there was a people that God awoke, and he gave them a taste of spiritual freedom, and they wanted that. And so we have that they reverted back to what Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verse 39, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that was one of the main contributing influences in America and why they fought in the Revolution. And you will find that it was churches and Christian people that fought for independence, that fought for the Bill of Rights, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, also the right to defend oneself. Also, they fought for all of the Bill of Rights. It's an amazing, amazing thing to study out. If you have no awakening in America, you have no America as it is today. And God used the influence of those churches to literally save our nation from tyranny, and that we fought for independence. Well, it's just a great thing to study and see in our history. I thank you for listening in today. I hope you've got something edifying out of it. Noah's going to come today and give our contact information. I hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.